I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He's a world champion wrestler,
best-selling author,
actor,
and lead singer of Fozzy.
Now
he's rocking the podcast world.
Yay!
This is Talk Is Jericho.
Talk Is Jericho,
starring Chris Jericho.
Welcome to Talk Is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. The boredom you're under will be saved by Chris Jericho. Yeah, boy. The People's Podcast has arrived. Let's go for a ride. Little bit of Live Wire. Fozzy covered Live Wire on our very first record that came out way back in the year 2000. In the year 2000, there's gonna be some spaceships and aliens are coming for you. I think that's a song from the 60s by the Strawberry Alarm Clock called In the Year 2000. And if it's not, I just made it up. Today, Black Label Society, Zach Wilde, and he's wild. He's a wild and crazy guy. He's coming up. Zach and the rest of his pack, the Black Label Society, has a new album out now called Catacombs of the Black Vatican. Check it out. Go buy it on Amazon through the link on Talk Is Jericho, of course. Plus, Black Label is on the road right now. I saw them over the past couple weeks in Carolina Rebellion. Hung out with Zach there. Hung out with Zach also at Rockin' the Range of the day, where Fozzy played both those shows. We kicked this proverbial arse's, eh? They're on tour right now with Down and my buddies and the Butcher Babies as part of the Catacombs of the Black Vatican Tour, sponsored by Revolver. We're going to talk about everything with Zach, including his time with Ozzy Osbourne. Funny story, I've been trying to track down Zach to do my show for a couple months because I knew that the Catacombs was about ready to come out. His schedule busy, my schedule always busy as well. Couldn't seem to get it together, wanted to do the interview in person, but it just didn't work out. So finally, I got a call that Zach's available on a Monday morning at 11 a.m. I drove over to the studio in Tampa. Zach called in. We talked for an hour, as you'll hear the interview. Great time laughing. So many great stories. Been one of my best friends for years and years and years. Finally, we hang up. Great time. A couple hours later, I'm looking on Instagram and I see Heidi from the Butcher Babies posting some pictures from Tampa. And I'm like, why are the Butcher Babies in Tampa? They're touring with Black Label Society. So then, of course, I go online and look up Black Label Society tour dates. And guess where Zach was when I talked to him for an hour? In Tampa. Guess where I was? In Tampa. He was 10 minutes away from me on his tour bus. I could have driven there and done the whole thing in person. But two idiots, Zach and I, dumb and dumber. Too stupid to realize that we were both in the same city talking on the phone to do this interview. But it was still a great interview. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. You're going to play some pings. Wow! But before we get started, I just want to give another big thank you to you guys for checking out my sponsors. Supporting them means I get to keep doing this show for you for free for twice a week. And I want to keep it that way. It's the way I like it. I know you do too. So the easiest way to keep it free, go to podcastone.com. That's my home for Talk is Jericho. Podcastone.com. And click on the Keep Our Podcasts Free banner at the top of the page. That will take you to Talk is Jericho. And links as well to all of my Sexy Beast sponsors, including Amazon. All the Amazon links are there as well. For the UK, for Amazon Canada, and everybody's going Amazon, Amazon USA. So go to podcastone.com, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page, then click on Talk is Jericho to find all of my great sponsors. So I've got a couple days off from tour. The Fozzy tour rolls on. We've got a lot of cool things coming up. Played a lot of great shows, including Carolina Rebellion. Probably played in front of 20,000 people. And it's shows like that that just make you... It kind of makes everything worthwhile. I mean, being away from home is never easy. Some shows you do are bigger than others. Carolina Rebellion was one of my favorite shows that we've ever had. For our entire career, 20,000 people, they knew our songs, lights go out, got a huge reaction. Do You Want to Start a War? The song that we've been opening the set with that no one's ever even really heard yet unless you've been listening to bootlegs. Also got a huge reaction, as well as Enemy, as well as God Pounds His Nails, as well as Sandpaper. So it's been a great last 3 or 4 weeks. We are still rolling. The Fozzy train is... still rolling, a rockin' rolling. Wednesday, May 21st, Little Rock, Arkansas at Juanita's. May 22nd in Birmingham, Alabama, Iron City with Buck Cherry. May 23rd in the Atlanta Prefecture, Duluth, Georgia, Wild Bills, also with Buck Cherry. May 25th, Beckley, West Virginia at Munchies. May 26th in Connell Lake, Pennsylvania at the Beach Club with Buck Cherry. May 27th in Oneonta, New York State at the Oneonta Theater, also with Buck Cherry. May 28th in New York City at Idle Hands on 25th Avenue down in Manhattan area. You will get to hear the new Fozzy record in its entirety. Listening party for the new Fozzy record. May 28th in New York City at Idle Hands. For more information, Google it. And if you are a Fozzy fan, you are not going to want to miss out. You're going to hear the record 2 months before anybody else. It's going to be a great, great experience. Come on down and check it out. Then May 30th, Huntington, New York, Long Island area at the Paramount with Buck Cherry. May 31st, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Xfinity Live with Buck Cherry. Then June 14th, main stage of Download. I know. There's going to be probably 75,000 people there. Come check out Fozzy, main stage, Linkin Park, Killswitch Engage, Fall Out Boy. That's all on the Saturday when we play. On Friday night is Avenged Sevenfold, Rob Zombie. Sunday night, Aerosmith, so many other amazingly great, super spectacular bands. And then don't forget, June 12th and June 15th, it's London is Jericho. That's my spoken word Q&A tap dance extravaganza. It's at the Leicester Square Theater in London, June 12th and June 15th. Look for all of that info online. Just Google London is Jericho and you'll find it all. Or go to the Twitter at I Am Jericho, at Fozzy Rock, and of course, at Talk is Jericho, where I get a chance to talk to all of you. You call in, you ask me questions, lots of cool stuff going on. Speaking of cool stuff, something I want to talk about. I was watching the Billboard Music Awards the other day, and they had the Michael Jackson hologram, where he was performing his new song, Slave to the Rhythm. Now, cool song, by the way. First of all, it's weird that they've had two Michael Jackson records now that have come out posthumously after his death. How much material was Michael working on that was never released? And it's also kind of a drag because as good as some of these new songs are, you know they would have been so much better if Michael would have had a chance to tinker with them and get them exactly the way he wanted to. But it's kind of that Jimi Hendrix thing or the Tupac. Like, how many albums of material are they going to find out there of Michael, kind of half finished riffs that producers can take and then build their own songs around them. But also this hologram thing really blew my mind. I don't know if you saw it. It was kind of like a computer video game version of Michael Jackson, a CGI version of Michael Jackson. And he basically sang and danced his new song. So I'm sure it took him a while to program it, but it opens up a lot of can of worms. Like, I thought it was great. It was really cool to see. And just seeing those moves, like only Michael can dance like that. And even though it wasn't really him, it was definitely based on him. You know, you could tell that it was programmed around him. But my question is, could they take that on tour? You know, could they take Michael Jackson on the road and put together the entire hologram Michael Jackson set, have him go out there and do 18 songs and with all the special effects and everything? I mean, I would probably go, you know. And it was also kind of mid 90s Michael before he really started getting, shall we say, so strange looking. So, you know, could you do that? And then it opens up a whole other box. Could you send Queen on tour with Freddie Mercury? Could you do Elvis? You know, and it would probably be 67 comeback Elvis, not 74 Vegas Elvis. You want to go for the kind of the classic version. How about the Beatles? Beatles from 1964, world tour. I mean, it's not as crazy as it might sound. Think about it. They played like House of Blues type places or even bigger. People would go. You know, Randy Rhoads live on stage. I mean, obviously couldn't be Ozzy with Randy because Ozzy's still around. But what about in 20 years or so if Ozzy is not around anymore? Just think, I mean, the possibility, Leonard Skinner, classic lineup, or, I mean, there's just so many ways you could go in this direction. Stevie Ray Vaughan, live in concert. And if they took, I mean, really great performance, I mean, you know how they do, like, they can do, or they did do, was it called Guitar Hero? Remember how they would kind of program in Slash or Tom Morello, or they did the Beatles Rock Band. And last night, the Michael Jackson thing, or the other night, it was so real looking that I can see them taking on the road. People, of course, would you know, complain about it. You know, Michael was one of a kind, and he should, you know, let him rest. But generations from now will never know what it's like to see a Michael Jackson show. And I'm almost wondering if it would be a kind of a cool thing to have this facsimile. And if you don't think it would work, look at all the Elvis impersonators. Look at all the Michael impersonators, all the Beatlemania bands. People want to see those shows and those people playing. So what if you just did an all-out hologram of those guys in their prime years? Would people pay to see it? I think they would. I think they'd pay a lot of money to see it. I know I would, especially, like I said, the Beatles, Michael Jackson, Queen, Elvis. I guess it'd be easy to do the solo performers rather than the actual you know, bands, unless everybody in the band was gone. So it's something to think of. What do you think about? What do you think about that? Let me know how you felt about the Michael Jackson hologram performance at the Billboard Music Awards. And is it something that you could see taking over in the future? Would people pay money to go see Michael Jackson live in concert and see a full Michael Jackson show? Hit me up on the Twitter at TalkIsJericho and let me know what you think. Now, Zach Wilde is coming up, like I said, but first...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk is Jericho.
On the line right now, the Berserker, the sexiest ass in rock and roll, Zach Wilde, is here.
Yes, I am.
Woo!
Oh, my.
I am so excited. I didn't mean to interrupt you practicing your CC DeVille scales this morning.
Oh, it's my Rip Taylor activities.
Rip Taylor. Rip Taylor should have been a rock star, man. He could have been like totally in like Kaja Goo Goo or something.
Him and Paul Lynn should have started a band.
How did anybody not know that Paul Lynn was gay?
Dude, he was awesome. His awesomeness just surpassed gay. He's just awesome.
Dude, I know you're just driving. I think you're just up in Florida. We were there on Saturday. You played yesterday, supporting the brand new Opus, huge success, Catacombs.
Yes. Oh, Father Chris, the whole thing is the number five overall got me the shoulder rub from the Warden.
Uh-huh.
The number one rock record definitely got me the footsie rub. So it was thoroughly enjoyed.
What do you have to do to get the happy ending at this point?
Well, probably, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Catacombs of the Black Vatican is the new Black Label Society record. And I mean, I know that the last record, Order of the Black, also debuted really high. I mean, you got to be pretty happy after all these years of, you know, working with Black Label that now you're getting kind of this major success of all these amazing chart positions. It's been a long time coming for you.
Oh, well, I mean, it just goes to show you, you know, I mean, the power of payola, ice sculptures, hookers, and steroids, and Kimmy Kardashian Quick Trim, what it can achieve. No, I mean, it just goes to show you that, you know, I mean, obviously, over the years, I mean, our Black Label family's getting bigger and stronger every day with the use of steroids and Kimmy Kardashian Quick Trim and Viagra.
I think there's actually a free sample in every copy of Catacombs of the Black Vatican. You get a free sample of the Kim Kardashian trim up program.
Yes, and the Viagra, so you're walking around with a boner all day. It's great.
Did you ever find, I mean, I know for me, finally turning the corner after years of playing in Fozzy, but it's like, oh, that's a wrestler band, and you have to kind of prove yourself doubly. Did you have a little bit of that when you first left Ozzy and started Black Label? Was there people that were just like, oh, come on, Zach, go back to Ozzy, and now they're finally understanding how good Black Label is on your own?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I mean, even with you know, St. Dime over there when he was starting with the Damage Plan thing, you know, Dime was just like that. I said, well, welcome back to the band, you know, I mean, because it's just like, they just assume, you know, I mean, the same thing with Ozzy. They just assume, oh, well, Ozzy was in Black Sabbath. So wait, 100 people go to the show. So I guess,
right?
Minimal, what, 50 people will go? And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way, dude. And I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, with either, you know, just out on the Gigantor, you had Father Newstead out there, Father Draymond out there, Father Vincenzo out there, you know, between Hell Yeah and Davey with the device thing. And, you know, like, people were just like, oh, the guy from Disturbed. Like, they didn't even know Dave. They thought it was just band device. Like, people were like, I didn't know Dave was in Disturbed.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, like, people just assume, you know, Father Newstead's out there, and they're just like, oh, Jason's got a band. Oh, I didn't even know he was singing. Like, people don't even know. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it really, as much as you just figure, oh, well, you know, Chris is wrestling. You know, Chris is in front of millions of people every, you know, SmackDown or whatever it is. It's like, what's the viewership there? I don't know, 685 billion people. So you figure, oh, we'll sell half of the records, and I guess maybe 385 billion people will be buying, you know, half of the WWE crowd. It's just,
right.
It doesn't work that way, dude. And I mean, like, all right, after No More Tears with all the success of that, you know, you figure, all right, well, we're going to start Pride and Glory. I guess you're going to sell lots. It's like, no, dude, you're in a van again, and you're cruising around. It's a brand new band.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, and the same thing with Dime when he started the Damage Plan thing. It's like, oh, I guess all the Pantera fans are going to start buying the record. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way, dude. So, I mean, it really is like, you know, I guess for some of these guys, it's like a real rude awakening call. I mean, me, I didn't mind, you know, at all. I mean, because I love playing. So, I mean, whether I'm in a van, or we're in an $80,000 a month tour bus. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, to me, it's like, I'll sleep in a van. I couldn't care less, because, I mean, it's just about me and you getting up on stage and having a blast. And
yeah, but playing.
And time. Yeah, man, because you love music. So, I mean, but the whole thing is, yeah, for some of these other guys, though, I mean, I've seen it before. I mean, it's a beyond rude wake-up call, man. So, I mean, well, no, because they're like, this sucks. What the fuck? You know, I mean, it's like, no, they don't even know, dude.
Yeah.
No one knows. I mean, I've even gotten people come up and they just go, dude, I didn't know you were the singer in Black Label to this day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Man, it's just like, dude, I didn't know you were singing, man. I was just like, yeah. And they go, when are you going to get a new singer? Because you suck.
It's amazing, though, because people will hear, like, you know, Black Label Society for years or Fozzy for years and maybe not even check it out. And now finally they're checking it out. And like you said, and realizing, well, Zach Wild's actually the singer of the band. With all the sacrifices that you've paid and just getting the name of Black Label out there, it takes a while to do that.
Well, I mean, it also, I mean, Barb throws her, you know, the Immortal Beloved throws her hat in the ring. Cause, you know, she sleeps with as many guys as she can.
Right.
Not home. And, you know, a lot of guys are like, dude, I slept with Zach Wilde's wife. I didn't know he had a band.
I don't even know who this Zach Wilde is, but he's got a hot wife, and I slept with her.
And she's awesome in the sack.
I remember we played Uproar a couple years ago. It was the first arena show Fozzy ever had. It was in Calgary, the Saddle Dome. And they didn't have a dress room for us, so we were kind of changing in the crew room where, like, all the the guys who sell popcorn and stuff go in there and put their uniforms on. And one of the guys was like, "Oh, my God, you're Chris Jericho. Don't you have a private dressing room?" And I'm like, "Not here, man. Not here. Now move over and give me some of that popcorn." You know, but like you said, people.
How you said they give that to CM Punk now.
You know, if I was in the WWE, I'd have it. But with Fozzy in the Saddle Dome, I'm changing with the mascot, you know, putting on the giant dog costume or whatever it is.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, really, when you break it down, though, it's like, it's so the same thing because I just laugh. You know, it doesn't matter how big your house gets or anything like that. I just always laugh with Barbara, and I go, it's like we were when I first joined Oz, when we had an apartment. I go, we still hang out in the kitchen, the TV room, and that's pretty much about it.
Yeah.
You go to bed, maybe, you know what I mean? But, like, it doesn't matter how big, your house is, this gigantic mansion, you're still in the TV room, and then the kitchen, and you go to bed, so...
Yeah, the only thing that happens when you have a bigger house is you get yelled at because if your wife says something to you in, like, you know, room number one and you're in room number five on the other side of the house, I always get in trouble. And it's like, you can't get mad at me. I can't hear you. If I can't hear you, you can't get mad at me. You know?
Oh, you'll hear it.
You'll never stop hearing about it. I was going to say, I mean, the crowds you've been playing to, I saw some of your Instagram, and you're a great Instagrammer, by the way. You really enjoy your Instagram.
Well, it's awesome the way I crop those photos and make 8 people look like there's about 80,000.
But, I mean, the crowds have been great, and you've been, I mean, it's been nonstop touring for you. I'll talk about some of the stuff you've been doing in a bit, but I wanted to ask you, you just had Nick Cantonese left the band about 6 or 8 months ago, and you got Father Dario in there, younger guy. Was there, you've played with Nick for so long that there must be some kind of an onstage chemistry. We don't even have to really think about each other, and you're just playing and knowing that you're going to be on the same track. Was it hard with the rhythms that you have to be able to find somebody that quickly to fill right in and get that same connection with?
Well, no, I mean, yeah, obviously, I mean, and but not only that, Nick as one of the guys as a human being,
right? Of course,
love Nick and everything like that. So, but you know, I mean, the way Black Label rolls, you know, all the, you know, it's a fraternity and a brotherhood. So, I mean, all the guys that have been here, I love all the guys, and I still talk with them and everything, mm-hmm. You know. So, and like I said, Chris, I mean, I always just tell everybody, I said, being in Black Label is like being with the Navy SEALs. Everybody knows why they're there. We're all gonna go kill some bad guys, and then we're all going home.
Right.
But I mean, like, we don't have time for pissing and moaning and whining. And there is none of that because lions hang out with lions, and that's the way it goes. And it's, the whole thing is, you know, put it this way. I don't have time for pissing and moaning and whining, and all the fellas I roll with don't have time for pissing, moaning, and whining. Nobody can be bothered with it. So mm-hmm. It's just like, dude, I mean, honestly, enough. So, I mean, the whole thing is, but no, it's just like with Nick, you know, when I spoke with him, he was just like, Zachy, man, listen, I just want to sink 1,000% into this new stuff I'm doing right now. And I said, well, Mike, you gotta go for it. I said, you know, you always have a home here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we all love you. I said, just, you know, go kill it, man. So, but I mean, as far as, you know, with Nick right now, and right now he's recording and he's doing a batch of stuff with his new stuff. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
But no, with Dario, I just asked JD, and I said, JD, what are we going to do for, you know, guitar player now? And he just goes, well, Zach, I've got my people out there looking. He goes, look at this kid, Dario, he's 24 years old. He's with the Vegas chapter. He goes, look, if we can get him, we'll probably give up 3 number one draft picks. And he goes, I've talked with his agent. We can get him for probably 5 years at $168 million. And I said, that's actually pretty good. He goes, all right, that's without doubt. He goes, I talked him down from 185 to 162. So I said, all right, good. I go, but we've given up 3 number one draft picks. But the whole thing is, by acquiring Dario, like I said, between the number 5 overall record and then the number 1 rock record,
yeah, it's huge.
The dividends are paying off, and the fact that he's 24 years old, it doesn't. I don't have to give him any of my Viagra, so I think it really does.
Which is good because you're stingy with that stuff. I tried to borrow one from you, and you almost bit my hand off, man.
The warden was coming in that night, Father Chris. I needed it.
It's my Viagra. Go away. But I mean, you kind of threw him into the fire right away because I know a couple months ago you went out and did an acoustic tour of just you and him.
No, totally. I mean, but like with Dario's aside of, you know, obviously being a monster guitar player, he can play the keys, he can play piano, he does the strings. Like when we do Angel of Mercy, he's doing all the string parts on that thing. And then he sings as well. So he's doing harmony. So,
wow.
It works out great, man. I mean, you know, Dario's, it's awesome. And he has his own solo record out on Shrapnel right now, which is just a shred record of doom. So, yeah, without a doubt. And on top of it, he's a great kid, man. So, you know, it's a pleasure having him.
Did you have that acoustic tour booked before he was in the band, or did you book that just to kind of get him up to snuff?
It was booked before that.
And okay.
You know, Nick was like that, man, before we did the NAMM show. And then we had to get Dario before we had done the NAMM show, you know, because Nick was ready. We were all getting ready to do it. And Nick was like, "Zach, man, I really want to do this thing." And I said, "Oh, Nick, man." I said, "You got it, brother." I said, "You know, whatever you want to do, you always got a home here, man."
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, but that's when we had Dario's first gig. You know, I gave him the set list, and then he was ready to go. So, and then, you know, when we did the acoustic thing, same thing. And just, you know, Dario, here's the set, and this is what we're going to do. You know, he just...
Right.
You know, but, you know, like the same thing is, I mean, because, you know, you put great wrestlers together. Guys that know what they're doing, you know, it just makes life that much easier. You know, I mean, like, it's not like, you know, great musicians roll with great musicians. They'll know the playbook, and it's time to
right. Time absolutely,
to what I mean. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of pressure for the kid, but then you'll see right away what he's got, and if he's a great musician, you know, he's going to step in and just kill it no matter what.
Yeah, it's the same thing with great athletes. I mean, I could put you. You know, I mean, as far as wrestling goes, you know, with your wrestling career, I could put you in any, whether it's WWE, WCW, or, you know, whatever it would be, you'd roll in there and just whoever, whether you're wrestling the Legion of Doom, you're like, all right, let's do this. And it's going to be an amazing match because you got a bunch of super talented people in there. So, you know, and everybody knows what they're doing. So, and it's the same thing with the band. I mean, the bottom line, if, you know, without a doubt, I mean, as far as chemistry goes and everything like that, without a doubt, you know, but that's like saying with Oz, you know, all his years with Tony, you know, mm-hmm. Lord Iommi, without a doubt, I mean, between the Sabbath guys, there's an amazing chemistry there because you have four individuals bringing, that's what makes that soup.
Yeah.
But then you can't discredit when St. Rhodes came into the fold and all the magical stuff he created with Randy. So, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think if you get really super talented people when they, well, people that can play and they know what they're doing, it's just like any athlete. You can put Michael Jordan on any team, and he's going to be Michael Jordan, and he's going to elevate everybody else's playing, and everyone's going to, you know, you take a good team, and now they're great. You know what I mean?
Well, and you kind of almost went through the same thing now that you're talking. You mentioned Ozzy and Randy Rhodes and Iommi. I mean, when you came in to play with Ozzy, talk about a trial by fire because you're replacing – you know, three or four of the greatest guitar players ever between Tony, Randy, and Jake. Well, I guess three at that point in time. So you kind of know what it's like to get thrown straight in the fire.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, and, you know, obviously being a huge fan of all three of them. So, I mean, you know, because, you know, you take pride in wearing that uniform. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
I guess so. But, you know, like people always ask me, were you afraid? Or I go, no, I was more excited than being scared, you know what I mean? That type of thing.
Tell us the story about when you were working at the gas station and you got the call. Well, tell us the story about how you got an Aussie. It's such a great story.
I was just playing in a, you know, a club with, you know, obviously with our band Zyrus. We must have had about, you know, I mean, you want to talk about the whole funny thing of, you know, when word of mouth gets around, you know, when we were playing clubs, and, you know, it was, you had our friends coming down to the gig, and that was about it, you know. So, I mean, but the whole thing is, it was hysterical, because when I got announced that I was going to be going out, and when I auditioned for Oz and everything, when I actually got the gig, and we had about three more shows left, and, you know, so I stayed with the guys, and we were going to do finish out the last three shows
right.
that we're already committed to do, right? You know, like the Stone Pony or whatever.
The old places in New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, that we were going to play. I mean, absolutely, literally hysterical. You know, your textbook, stereotypical stuff. There was nobody at the clubs.
Right.
And the minute it mentioned, you know, Zach's playing with Ozzy, he's going to be leaving for London to go work on a new record, and he's going to, you know, just going to start writing and everything like that. So now that I'm Ozzy's new guitar player, dude, lines around the building. I mean, you know, just to, you know, I mean, your stereotypical, you know, we can see him when, you know, whatever. I was talking with Kenny Wayne Shepherd, did the Hendrix thing. I mean, you're a stereotypical, you know, when guys go, oh, man, Zach, isn't the reason why you picked up a guitar, you know, because you wanted to get chicks, right?
Right.
And you know, I'm like, even when I played football, you know, it's like me and you playing, you know, you're in defensive end, I'm a middle linebacker, and it's just like, you know, you and Chris, you started playing football, you know, because you wanted to get chicks. It's like, no, we like crushing people. That's why we like playing football.
Yeah,
I go, that's why I'm a linebacker and Chris is a defensive end. I go, we like hitting people, dude. I go, no. If I want to get a chick, yeah, no, that's not the reason why we like destroying people. I don't sit around practicing 12 hours a day doing pentatonic and diatonic scales and learning my fret and chords and everything like that because I want to pick up chicks. If that's the case, I guess I'll just take a Les Paul. It'd be a lot easier if I just took a Les Paul and hit her in the back of the head with it, you know, and then threw in my 100 milligrams of Viagra. But I mean, but the whole thing is, it's like, no, that's not the reason why I got into it. I go, the pictures I have up on my wall are Randy Rhoads, Tony Iommi, Jimmy Page, and those are the guys I have on the wall. And, you know, so it's just like, and so the whole thing is, but the thing is about as far as getting chicks, you know, because everyone goes, oh, well, chicks like guys that play in a band or get a guitar, then you get chicks, whatever. And me and Kenny Wayne Shepherd were talking, he goes, Zach, he goes, all the chicks that shot me down when I was in high school wouldn't give me the time of day. No matter what, he goes, Zach, I was still in high school. They when my album went gold,
yeah.
And he goes, Zach, I went out on tour for about 6 months. I came home, every chick, because he was a senior, I think.
Right.
He goes, all the girls that had graduated, you know, like the year before or like 2 years before that, you know, were completely, you know, when you're in high school, when you're a sophomore, the girls that are seniors are just out of the stratosphere.
Yeah.
At the league. Well, because they're going with guys that actually have a job and a car. And don't live at home with your mama and dada, you know what I mean? So,
right.
So the whole thing is, he goes, Zach, he goes, I'd come home from the road. And it's just like, he goes, every one of them wanted to hook up with me. He goes, so like within that 6 month period of the album going gold and me being on the road, all of a sudden, I'm Rip Taylor awesome.
Yeah. Paul Lind and Rip Taylor rolled up into one.
Yes. But he goes, it's amazing. He goes, what happened 6 months ago? He goes, none of them wanted to know me. But now I got a gold record. I guess my guitar playing has really gotten that much better. And I'm that much more Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp looking all of a sudden. You know? Unbelievable, man. And I go, wow, that's pretty funny. I go, I still can't get part. I still have to drug Barb to get her into the sack.
And then drug yourself with Viagra.
Yeah.
Did somebody send it? Did you send in a tape for the original Ozzy audition, or how did you hear about it?
No, I was playing in the club, and Dave Feld, Dave, who actually got Sebastian hooked up. I mean, it's crazy how Dave ended up finding Sebastian for Skid Row.
Oh, okay.
The singer and Dave put that together. You know, he's like, man, Sebastian, well, I should hook him up with Dave and the guys, mm-hmm. whatever. So, I mean, it was really funny. And then he signed Saigon Kick and everything like that when he got a gig. Dave ended up getting a gig with Atlantic and everything.
Okay.
So, but the whole thing is, Dave was just working a normal job, and he just seen me playing at a club one day, and I guess this is when Jake had left the band, and he was like, dude, do you ever think about auditioning for Ozzy? And I was just like, no. I mean, do you know Robert Plant and Jimmy Page? You go to lunch with them as well? You know, I mean, a break, man. So,
right. It's like when people say to you, like, you know what you need to do? You need to get on the radio. No yeah. kidding. Really?
Yeah. Oh. Great.
You need to play with Ozzy, Zach.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, and how do I go about doing that? I don't know any of these people. I live in Jackson, New Jersey, dude. I don't know.
Right.
So, anyways, he was just like, well, Zach, give me a tape. And he goes, I can give it to Mark Weiss. And Mark is, you know, he's a legendary rock photographer. He goes, Mark can, he was just doing some Ozzy shots the other day. You're like Ozzy with the pink tutu on and the boxing gloves and all that stuff.
That's him, right. Yeah. Famous photographer.
Without a doubt. So, he was just like, I can get it to him, and, you know, I'm sure you can give it to Mrs. O, and, you know, Zach, I mean, I can't promise you anything, I mean, but it's just better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, without a doubt. So, ended up getting, you know, recording a bunch of Randy Souls. I think it's out there on the internet somewhere. I mean, you know, there's, like, my audition tape with Ozzy, you know, so.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, it's out
there. What did you play on the audition tape? Do you remember what solo it was?
Well, I got to check it out. I mean, I think I played, like, Mr. Crowley, and I played a bunch of other things.
Okay.
But, I did a classical piece or something like that. So ended up putting that out on there. And then my sister Amy just took some Polaroids of me on my mom and dad's porch. But the crazy thing about it is, you know, I got it to Mrs. O, and then she called me and everything like that. So, you know, and then I just thought it was my friends taking a piss at their mom on the phone or whatever. So, but the whole thing is Oz was telling me, because the weirdest thing was, because when I walked in there, you know, and met Ozzy, he just goes, "Have I met you before?" And I was like, "Well, unless you see me and Chris and the fellas at under the loge, you know, I'm doing the Bark at the Moon tour, going ballistic, thinking you're looking at us."
Yeah, right.
You know, I said, "No, I've never."
Yeah, so if you've been to Shecky's Bar and Grill in Jackson, New Jersey, maybe you've seen me there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if Sabbath ever played there, but, you know. But the thing is, he goes, because Oz said, you know, of all the boxes of audition tapes and pictures, I mean, you know, because Ozzy's just like, "I'm not going through all this stuff." He'd just get me, narrow it down. He'd have Phil and Randy, you know, narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
Do the whittle it down to the top 10 guys or top 5, then weed it out top 3 guys, and then, all right, well, we got our guy. So, you know, but, you know, because Ozzy's like, "I'm not doing the whole American Idol, sitting through a bunch of auditions with guys, and it's just, I'm not doing the cattle call." So, but he saw my picture, and he, you know, he said all he remembered was he picked up the picture. He goes, "Oh, look at this kid. He really loves Randy Rhoads."
Mm.
And that was it. So, like, he goes, "That's where I saw your picture." Because I was saying, "Where have I met you before?" He goes, "And it was that picture." Because he goes, "Of all the boxes of crap that I had to look through," he just goes, "yours was the only one that I your picture was on the kitchen table or something." And I looked at it.
So how did he say that? How did he know that you loved Randy Rhoads? Because you
just because you know, with the blonde hair and mm-hmm. the whole parts, you know what I mean?
Right.
So you're just like, "Oh, this kid really loves Randy Rhoads." So, you know, but yeah, it's just funny, you know, I mean, that was the only picture he's seen. You know, that he picked up.
Right, and that's the one that gave him the thumbs up with you. How was it when you first met him? Did you guys have to jam a lot and rehearse when you first wrote that record?
Well, we did, you know, I mean, well, Randy and Phil, you know, Father Castillo and, you know,
Phil Susan, yeah.
You know, obviously Rando and, you know, Father Susan with Phil over there. Oh, I, you know, I met the guys, and maybe, you know, just really cool dudes, and just, you know, like, "Hey, Zach, what's happening, man?" Like, maybe, you know, feel at ease, and then, like, you know, "Zach, you know, this prostate exam is going to be really quick." But anyways, it deals with fingers, not fists. And I was like, "Oh, thank goodness." You know what I mean? But nowadays I do enjoy the fist up to the bicep, but I mean,
well,
but,
that was Dario's initiation, I think, wasn't it?
Of course, man. It's thoroughly enjoyable, but I mean, you know, you got to keep it fun. But the whole thing is, Father Chris is just, you know, the guys are super cool. You know, we did like Bark at the Moon, Suicide Solution, and then, you know, I Don't Know or whatever, Crazy Train. And then when Oz came in, I met Oz, and he was just like, "Hey, Zach," you know, and I was just, you know, obviously crap my pants and everything. And he was just like, "Zach, just play with your heart. You know, that's all I want you to do," whatever. And they said, "And what is that smell? Change your trousers and make me a ham sandwich and go lights on the mustard, would you?" And I did.
Yes. So he was, obviously you were his guy, so he was very accommodating. How crazy was he back in those years? And did you, were you kind of his partner in crime when you're talking about the after show getting loaded and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, no one would go drinking with the boss. I mean, I was the only one that rolled with him, you know what I mean? And then mm-hmm. I remember Bobby Thompson, because I was rooming with Bobby when we were working on No Rest for the Wicked, and he was like, Zachy. And then, you know, Bobby had been there, you know, Ozzy since the 70s, because Bobby worked with Nazareth, he worked with Leonard Skinner.
So he was, you know, was he like a, was he the tour manager?
Yeah, Bobby
okay.
was a trigger and then a tour manager and a stage manager and everything like that. So, and, you know, he was part of the furniture within the Ozzy camp, you know, I mean, because he was there when St. Rhodes started and the whole nine yards when the Empire started getting created. You know
right.
what I mean?
So, yeah.
But the whole thing is, I'd be rooming with BT and he'd be going, Zachy, listen, you gotta listen to me. Don't get into the web. He's trying to tangle you into his web. Stay out of the web. For the love of all things sacred and holy, stay out of the web. But Oz, because I was just like, well, I love hanging out with Oz. I'm drinking. But, you know, so, I mean, it's just like when I first came home, Mom called Barbara Ann up and was just like, "Excuse me, Barbara Ann." She goes, "Yes." She goes, "Listen, does Zachy have a drinking problem?" And she was like, well, oh no, he just usually drinks milk and, you know, stuff like that. He doesn't really drink. He goes, well, he does now. Anyway, so mom obviously dubbed us the gruesome twosome after a while, you know what I mean? So, you know, whenever she called Barb up, it would be like, oh, the gruesome twosome, we're after it again, you know, you know, whatever comedy was unfolding, you know, because nobody else wanted to hang out with the boss because then they'd get, you know, then they'd face the wrath of mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, and Oz was always the best too, because what he'd end up doing is he'd be the first one to, like, throw us all under the bus. Like, he'd go, so, you know, if he was hammered or whatever, and we all went out drinking the other night and had a ass-kicking time, he'd go, mom would be like, who were you with or whatever? He goes, oh, I was with Christian Zach, and we had a good time. You know, so, like, I'm going, Oz, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
What are you doing? He'd name names, man.
you talk about the Wrath of Sharon. Do you remember the time that we were playing baseball in the parking lot at Ozfest?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, just blasting. Yeah, with playing home run derby.
Yeah, it was July 4th, and we had been drinking, and you're like, it's July 4th, we got to do something American, let's play baseball. So we're in the parking lot of the Ozfest behind the stage where the buses are, and I threw you a pitch, and it was the worst pitch ever. And you were laughing, like, you're a pansy, you're a pussy. So I was like, I'm going to throw this pitch as hard as I can. So I threw it straight down the middle, Nolan Ryan, and you hit it. And it went all the way over the fence into the crowd, and you were doing a home run lap, and all the people around clapping. And right when everyone was cheering, we heard this, what are you doing? And you remember, out she comes, and it's Sharon Osbourne. And I was like, oh my God. And both of us were just silent, and she started yelling at us, like, you could shut down this whole festival if that hits somebody on the head. It could knock out the whole festival. We get sued. What is the matter with you, Zachy? And then she looks at me and goes, and who the fuck are you?
Well, this is my brother Chris, Mom.
She's like, get out of my face. Get back on your bus. And we walked back on the bus, and we couldn't figure out the code, and she was staring at us. And I'm like, open the bus. She's like, I'm trying. I can't remember the code. And then we finally go to the bus and sat down and just, like, started, like, laughing like little kids who just got caught stealing crab apples or something.
No, without a doubt, dude. I mean, you know, I mean, that was the comedy all the time because it was always the Animal House years. But, I mean, and like you said, no farm animals got hurt. No people got hurt. So it did pan out pretty well. But, I mean, to this day, I still, our relationship, like, you know, when we were just in New York when Sabbath was doing the, you know, destroyed the PNC Art Center, we were down there watching that. You know, we all went out for dinner the next day. It was Barb, Mom, the boss, Gay Man, you know, obviously Jesse John Michael, our son, you know.
Yeah.
His God. So, you know, but the whole thing, you know, when we were just like, whenever we get together, we just, I mean, we're constantly crying, laughing, talking about these ridiculous stories. But, I mean, yeah, but, I mean, it's always a good time. So it's just,
remember, tell us about the time when you guys threw a TV out the window, like in Czechoslovakia or something like that.
No, I mean, when the TV went out the window, I mean, we were drinking, and it was just like, it was probably about 3 in the morning. All I remember is me and the boss getting hammered. He was just like, we were talking about, you know, he was talking about John Bonham, Keith Moon, and we were talking about, you know, the TVs back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
How silly it was that, like, you know, that was your typical rock star thing to do, you know, like even, you know, smashing hotel rooms. And,
yeah.
And Oz goes, and, you know, just talking about all the good times he had with John, you know, with Father Bonham and everything like that. So, you know, just lots of laughs. And he just goes, you know, Zachy, I've done a lot of crazy things in my life, but I've never thrown a TV out the window, right? So I suppose now it's going to happen. Obviously, this thing was bolted to the entertainment center, so, you know, jackasses don't throw it out the thing. So all I remember is I was just like, you know, Father Chris, if you would have been there, I'm just like, we're watching the boss trying to get him out of there, and Greg goes, out of there. So we're cracking up laughing. I'm just like, I just put my beer down, and I'm like, let me give it a shot. So I just end up ripping this thing out of the, it was bolted down. I end up ripping it out of the entertainment center, and I'm holding it up on my shoulder. I mean, it wasn't a flat screen TV. It's an old school TV.
Yeah, right.
72. So I'm like going, I'm sitting there with the wires hanging out and everything like that. This TV up around my shoulders, and I'm going, you know, I used to go to high school parties like this. You know, I've got a six pack of beer and you know, a TV.
Yeah, the boombox.
You know, Oz, like, ripped the window open because it was bolted shit. You know, they have it so it only cracks open.
Yeah, the European windows only crack open like 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah, well, because they don't want morons, obviously, have either thrown TVs out the window or they've either had Led Zeppelin or The Who staying at the hotel. Yeah. So they have the reason why they have the windows like that. So anyways, Oz gets the window open, and I just end up just being responsible rockers. I said, just look down there to make sure nobody's out there, dude. So anyways, the coast was clear, and then off the TV went, and then all I remember is just hearing just like, and then when this thing hit the ground, the explosion that this thing made was, dude, all I remember is we were like on the floor, Brian laughing, me and the boss, and then Tony Dennis, who's obviously been there since the beginning of St. Rhodes and everything like that,
yeah,
he comes in there and he's just like, he's looking out the window, looked like the scene from The Exorcist after Father Damien jumped out the window at the end of the movie, you know, with the broken window and the curtain just flailing hot because of the wind.
Right.
And they just looked out there, and he actually saw the TV and Father Damien down near the end of the steps. So, you know, he just like, Tony just looked and he was like, oh, no, man. Oh, man, this is not good, man. And where me and Ozzy just crying, laughing. But all I remember is, it ended up costing, you know, because Mom obviously called Barbara, and she goes, well, the two morons are at it again. She goes, yeah, the gruesome twos. And she goes, well, he goes, he's not getting out of this one alive either. What it's going to be is, she goes, I guess it cost me $12,000 for the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you right now, that TV, $12,000. I mean, me and you were buying a batch of 60-inch or 80-inch plasma TVs. We forget about a 60-inch. So it cost me $12,000 for that TV that we could have easily replaced for about $300.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it was just like, and Oz, because it was a 1,000 rooms for $1,000 for the top
for
floor.
The room, that right.
So they said they couldn't use the room for 41 days, so they clipped him for $41,000.
Oh.
It cost me $12,000. So it was a total of damages of, you know, whatever it is,
53
you
know, grand.
Grand or whatever. And, it, you know, she was just, I just go, well, at the end of the day, $53,000. The look on the boss's face, priceless. So, you know, it's just,
yeah.
You know, but I, you know, but at the end of the day, it's just like, nah, kids, you know what? You're better off doing taking that $12,000 and go and buy some Marshalls and buy some less balls. Or
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Talk is Jericho.
Zach Wild is here. You're talking about the crazy times, and you and I had some great ones, too, under the influence. Like, I could, there's a laundry list. I actually remember the tricycle race. That was a good one. You and I had, yes, at your house.
Yes. I just, and Chris just so un-Catholic and so un-nice. Just pushing his brother Zach merrily into the bushes.
Yeah, we were having a tricycle race around your driveway, and as I passed you, I gave you a body check, and you fell off your tricycle into the bushes.
Such un-niceness.
But I mean, like I said, we had some great times. But a few years ago, you were basically, you know, I think it was health issues or whatever. You stopped drinking, and how was that for you?
I had the blood clots, and then, you know, all I remember is, you know, the best with that was, you know, because I asked the doc, and I was just like, doc, I go, dude, does this mean I got to chill on the drinking?
Mm-hmm.
He goes, well, Zach, let me put it this way. If you drink as much as you tell me you drink, he goes, yeah. He goes, you put it this way. If you go to a Hooters with the fellas to go watch Monday Night Football or whatever it is you want to do, I just hope that Hooters is one of the greatest Hooters you've ever been to, because that will be the last Hooters you'll ever be.
Wow.
Yeah, he goes, Zach, you'll be just bleeding out. He goes, because your blood won't even be clotting. He goes, you know, between, because it's blood thinner on blood thinner is what you're going to be putting on.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, like this, because you'll just start bleeding profusely out of your nostrils, your eyes, your ears. every orifice on your body. Obviously, you know, he goes, what you once had a penis, he goes, now your vagina will be bleeding. And your gaping anus from the 25 years of the music business.
Right.
Which is always dripping anyway.
Right.
He goes, I definitely advise against it. I was just like, oh, that sucks. He just goes, yeah, it does, doesn't it?
So basically you were given the choice, like, this is it, man. Like, yeah, you punched your card, you're done.
Yeah, it's over. I mean, I don't need, you know, to be going. I mean, I got buddies that have gone to rehab and everything like that. And, you know, I got buddies that still go to AA meetings. They love it. And, you know, because they hang out with their friends and stuff like that. But, I mean, but the whole thing is, like, I didn't need anything. I just, like, tell me it's over. It's over. Wow, that really blows. But, I mean, but the whole thing is, you know, the doctor, he said after that, he just goes like this. He goes, well, he goes, you know what, Zach, I was like, Doc, how did I get these blood clots? He goes, well, Zach, did your parents have this? I go, well, Doc, I go, well, my parents are in God's tavern, so I wouldn't know. You know, he just goes, well, let me put it this way, Zach. He goes, if your mom and dad had this, he goes, and you had this genetically, I hate to say this, but I mean, as a doctor, but probably all your years of drinking actually may have saved your life by thinning your blood. And I go to Barbara Ann, see, drinking is good for something. You know, but needless to say, there was no laughter in the peanut gallery after that one. There was no chuckling going on. But, you know, yeah, sir, there was a celebration at all for Barb and a lot of the people that I, you know, like, you know, I couldn't.
But dude, I mean, you know, we've known each other for a long time. I think actually my very first WWE show or pay-per-view, I met you, I think it was like 99 or so. And there were times, like, you know, when you would call me when you were, you know, quite inebriated, shall we say.
Oh, no.
And you would just talk and talk and talk. And
your drunken friend phone call.
Right.
You go through your phone book and you go,
I remember one night in Montreal, you called me, and something happened where the phone went dead, so I called you back. Oh, I didn't have reception, so I called you back from the hotel, and you talked so long, you would never stop talking. I actually put the phone down, and I went and grabbed a bite. You could still hear you talking. I came back and went, uh-huh. I put the phone down. It was like 47 minutes or something. And of course, the next day when I check out, like an idiot Jericho, I'll just call Zach back from the hotel phone. It was like $500 phone bill.
But the whole thing is that's why I have an affinity and a love for Les Pauls. It's like it just keeps sustaining.
So the sustain on this is amazing.
You can go have a bite and come back.
That's right. Your sustain was incredible when you were on the phone drunk.
Oh man.
Did you ever miss it, like being on the road? You know, I'm sure after the show you'd have some beers and hang out. Did you ever miss that part of it when you stopped drinking?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, because I always just tell everybody. I mean, it's just like they go, remember this one guy goes like, Zach, why do you, you know, this one bar had me talking with the psychologist guy one day. He goes, well, Zach, why is it that you drink? I go, well, let me put it this way, Doc. He was like, oh, you drink because you're depressed? I go, no, wait. I go, we're out on the road, bro. I go, we're constantly laughing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, so I said, or otherwise, we'll sit up in the front of the submarine, and you got a 16-hour drive after we got done doing the big hot rock show. I go, we're chilling out. I said, and we're just drinking up. It'd be like Father Chris sitting in the captain's chair. I'm sitting on the floor. You got Dino driving. And then we're rolling, and we're listening to Bob Seger, Neil Young, Elton John, Zeppelin, whatever, you know, whatever cool music we want to listen to. And just chilling out, solving the problems of the world, sitting up in the front of the submarine. And it's like, Chris, what do you want, another cocktail? You're like, yeah, Zach, give me another Bex and another Crown and Ginger or whatever. I mean, and we're just sitting there talking about everything, whether it's sports, religion, music, all our favorite bands, our favorite musicians, whatever. I mean, you know, and I go, that's a good time, man. And you know, he was just like, I said, have you ever done that? And he was like, no. And I go, well, then how would you know? I go like this. I go, you know, it's like telling, you know, a vegetarian that's like, you know, wants to tell me about, you know, not eating meat. And it's just like, have you ever had meat? You ever eaten at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse? And they're like, no. I said, well, how would you know that?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, my whole thing is it's like, no, I just enjoyed it. And put it this way, if I was sitting around, you know, if I'm back home with, you know, with Barb and the munchkins and stuff like that and the dogs and hanging out, relaxing at the compound, you know, I'm just sitting practicing, running scales, and the Yankees are on, and I'm just sitting there with a beer, and I'm relaxing. I'm like, man, it doesn't get much better than this, man. You know, right. So I mean, the whole thing is, I just enjoyed it. Or, you know, like after we get done with the gig, we go to a, you know, we're staying in town, me and you go out to an Irish pub and we meet a bunch of really cool people and just talking about everything, you know what I mean? And it's just like, we could be talking about hockey or whatever, you know, like talking about who would you rather have on your team, Gretzky or Messier or whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, overall, what you're going to do, you know, I mean, just having great conversations with people and hanging out. So, I mean, you know, that was always part of the aspect of it. But, I mean, it was like, I'd never drank because, you know, like the people were like, oh, is the songwriting different now or this? And I go, no, I never needed that to get inspired to write songs. And I just said, but, you know, me and Ozzy were talking about it one day, and he just goes, you know, when you're sober, Oz goes, well, it's kind of Zach. It's kind of like a launching pad, not so much for creativity, but, you know, like, because your inhibitions are down and you're just chilling and you're relaxed and you hear things a different way. And I, you know, that's the truth. I mean, how can you deny it? I mean, I'm just saying, like, that'd be like saying, you know, I mean, let's be real. Half the reason why, you know, one of our buddies could say, the only reason why, you know, how I met your mother, how I got married was, Chris and the guys, we were all hanging out at the bar one day. I saw your mom in there and I was like, I was too nervous to even go meet her. And then, you know, but the guy shoved a couple cocktails in me, and we were like, dude, go over there and say hi to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then he got the liquid courage to go over there and say hi. So, you know,
right.
And, or you know, just like, why'd you get into that fight in the bar the other night?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, dude, if you wouldn't have had those, you know, 14 shots of Jack Daniels, and, you know, you were already in a crap mood to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden you're like, dude, I'm going to knock that guy's teeth out. It's like, dude, he didn't even look at you, dude. You know, right. But what I'm just saying is the reason why he got in that fight is because he was drinking. So, I mean, what I'm just saying is because it put your brain in a whole different place. I mean, you know, because somebody asked me, they were just like, could you imagine if Jimi Hendrix never took drugs or never did anything and, you know, never, he goes, could you imagine how great, how much even greater he would have been? I go, there wouldn't have been a Jimi Hendrix.
Well, yeah, it's just like
he embodied that whole thing. That's almost like saying, could you imagine if Arnold Schwarzenegger never took steroids
mm-hmm.
and never did anything, how much better his physique would have even been? I go, he would have never won a Mr. Olympia. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So don't, well, let's not try and candy coat things. I'm not advising taking any of it stuff. But I mean, but as far as the drinking goes, no, I just enjoyed it just chilling out. But I mean, like you said, it never, you know, put it this way, as far as writing goes and stuff like that, if we kept jamming and we were hammered and you listen, I mean, if you want just sheer comedy the next day,
yeah,
listen to the playback of you and the buddies hammered out of your mind and you want to hear some comedy. Just do that and then go.
That's why it always amazed me when I heard that that Van Halen played drunk like through the 70s and 80s. It's like, wow. You know what I mean? Like that's the one guy that could actually play well up to a point.
Yeah, but you saw Ed later on.
Yes, then it caught up to him.
When it caught up to him. But I mean, I'm just saying, without a doubt, for like 20 years, I mean, I had no problems drinking and playing and everything like that till like the end of my drinking. It was just like, then it started creeping into the shows.
And then I
would go, and it was because I always said, I go, you know, everybody go, man, you got to chill on it. I go, dude, they start creeping into the shows, that'll be a bridge I cross when I get there. And I'm figuring, man, that bridge is so far away.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't going to see that bridge for about another 25 years anyway. So next thing you know, I turn around, I'm at the Verrazano Bridge, man. I'm like,
it was time. Today. Yeah.
I had a ways to go before this, but I mean, but no, it just, you know, because somebody was like, oh, you know, this one guy was asking, he goes, Zach, would you like to, you know, tell kids about drinking or whatever, you know, go to a thing or something like that. I go, and tell them what, man? I go, the only thing I would tell kids, I go, hey, look, you got to, you know, it's the Black Label General Patton Rehab. I go like this. I go, you got to man up and just go like this. Look in the mirror and just go, dude, if this is getting in the way of you ruling the world, then that's when you just go, time to call it a day. But that's pretty much it. Because if you want to learn how to play the guitar, I can show you where to put your fingers to play Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah.
If you don't practice, then nothing's going to happen, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, because you have to, you know, there has to be some liability and accountability on yourself. And I go, not only that, you'll be proud you did it, whatever you achieve anyways. You got to put in the hard work or just decide. It's just like, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, because people are like, oh, dude, when you get out on the road, what are you going to do? I go, nothing. I'm pretty much going to do the same thing I do all the time, except drinking a near beer and I'm sniffing vats of glue now. What do you want me to tell you, man? I go, it's in there like, it can't be that easy. I go, it is that easy.
Well, because I mean, and it's not like you were that much different. I mean, you've always been a very personable guy and a very charismatic guy from, you know, even when you're sober or drunk. So it's not like, you know, some guys need to have some drinks to have fun, but you were never like that.
No, and put it this way. I always tell everybody, I go, hey, listen, you know, as far as, you know, you got to stop whatever it is that you're doing, you know, if it's getting in the way, man. I go, no one wants to hear it's last call. No one wants to hear that, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I go like this. I said, so what part of it can't you understand? If, you know, if I got any of my buddies that are on and off again, you know what I mean, as far as the drinking goes or whatever. You know, and I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm like, because, you know, because it's a good time. I completely understand it. But, I mean, as far as with me, though, I mean, it's like I have nothing but, like, funny stories to talk about, and we had nothing but tons of laughs and everything like that. But, I mean, but the whole thing is I don't glorify it or anything like that. I'm just being honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just like, it is what it is, man. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
But yeah, I just tell everybody that. I mean, because, you know, even if you're going to AA and everything like that, if you can't get in touch with your sponsor, what are you supposed to do then, man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you have to do is have a set of balls and just go, no, I ain't going to go have a cocktail. I mean, it, you know, it's just like enough of the excuses and enough of the garbage, man. Enough.
Yeah.
It's just like black label up and patent up and just, that's it. It's gone. You know, just watch some porn and just go in the room and go in the bathroom right now and take care of business.
Nirvana. you know, we talked about how the first time we met was at a wrestling show, and that's one thing you've always had great respect for wrestling, for the WWE, and it's we always would talk about, and you would always talk about the Ultimate Warrior, James Helwig, obviously just passed away tragically. You were affected by that. I remember we talked about it that day. I think I even texted you and told you, and that got to you a little bit.
No, well, I mean, because I just like, dude, I feel like a bit of my childhood just passed away,
mm-hmm.
which is the truth. Because I mean, dude, he was awesome, man. And I mean, it's just, and like I said, he was more than a wrestler. You know what I mean? It was just mm-hmm. like a philosophy he's always believed. Everything was positive, without a doubt, man. It was really sad because it's just like everything. I could just see him hanging out with his wife Dana and just going, "Babe, this is so awesome." All mm-hmm. the because I really. It was great seeing a lot of my old friends and then seeing guys that I never thought I'd talk to again because we didn't get along. And we obviously buried the hatchets on a bunch of stuff, and I'm buddies with them now. And it's like this weight has been lifted off my shoulders, and it's like it's really awesome. Like things are really great right now in our life. And it's just like now I'm going to be ambassador for the WWE. It's just like this is really awesome. And I can just see them talking about that because that's how I would be with Barbara Ann.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, it's just, this is a really great, this is another great time in our life.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I mean, like me and you talked about it. It's almost like you couldn't script this.
Yeah, it was like a movie. Yeah. He comes back. I mean, he settles his scores and passes away the next day.
Yeah. And like everything's great. And like everything's great. Him and Vince. And like everybody, I'm sure all the guys are just laughing, talking about all the silly stories. And like even the guys he didn't get along with, like, oh, dude, I can't believe this is so beyond ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that we weren't talking for like 18 years, you know, I mean, or whatever, and going, and them actually laughing about it, you know what I mean? And now they're like, they're best of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he's like, you know, the next day, like, going, man, I can't wait to get on with the next chapter of my life now. This is like, so, this is such an exciting time. And it's just like, all positive, all on the upswing, everything's positive, then the good Lord needs him. Like crazy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
What was it about the Warrior that you liked back when you first saw him?
I just thought it was just so exciting, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, well, I mean, between him running in the ring, the whole nine yards, and, you know, obviously his physique and everything like that. Everything represented strength.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was beyond awesome.
You know what I liked about him was we came out, I think it was about, let's say, 88, for example, maybe 89, whatever it was. I always loved the fact that he had hair like a rocker and not like a mullet. Like everybody had mullets back then, but he had hair like, you know, like Cliff Burton or you know, like Ozzy or.
Yeah, yeah, he had the full length hair.
Yeah.
Like Rhodes or whatever. Yeah, totally.
It was like, you know, that was like the metal guy. You know what I mean? And then plus, you know, his physique was so amazing. He definitely stood out. But
put it this way. I mean, I guess if you have to equate it to music, mm-hmm. I guess when the Warrior came on, it was almost, I guess it would be like the, if you had to make an analogy, like, you know, the Hulkster and everything like that with like Led Zeppelin and everything like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when the Warrior came out, just like how when Randy and Eddie came out and everything, like it was just like, it was a changing of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just like the new, insane, exciting guitar playing you've never heard before. And you could actually feel it in the air that it was like, this is a new era has arrived. And it's just like, you know, not a passing of the torch. It's just like, there's the new era is here.
Mm-hmm.
the pointy guitars, the stripes on the guitars,
yeah.
the whammy bars, you know, the Floyd Rose is here. Like, it's just like guitar has is gone to another level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. You got that. You got that vibe with him for sure.
Without a doubt.
You know, before we wrap up, you're always a funny guy. You got a lot of great catchphrases of your own. I call them Zachisms. I'm going to read them out to you, and I want you to explain what they mean to you, okay? Submarine.
Submarine would be the tour bus. So, because with Black Label, you know, with our love for the military and my dad being a World War II vet, so obviously if we were traveling by plane, that would be Air Force. Then obviously when we're on water, you know, taking a ferry, it's the Navy. And when we're in the tour bus, because it's a tube like a submarine, so it's the Black Label nuclear sub.
Okay. The Warden.
The Warden would happen to be the immortal beloved. So, you know, like put it this way, with me and the boss and the guys back in the day, we had names for, you know, all our wives and girlfriends. So it was like I had the Warden. Some of the guys had the Governor, the Sentinel, the First Power.
I had the Principal. You had the Warden and I had the Principal.
Yeah.
Okay, how about a fiddle?
The fiddle would happen to be the guitar.
The famous guitar. Time to make the donuts.
That's time to get off the couch and get to work, and so we can pay the bills.
Which comes from that TV commercial from the 70s, right?
Yes, Dunkin' Donuts. Yes. And world runs on Dunkin', and yes, it's time to make the donuts. Time to get your ass in gear and get to work.
Time to make the donuts. Now, this is a new one. You just started using this a couple years ago where you'll call me and say, hey, Father Chris, what's going on? Or Father Dario or Father Blasco. Where did the father come from?
Well, you know, when we had the Order of the Black, you know, the Order of the Black, the Black Label Order and everything like that.
Yeah.
I go, yeah, it's Zach, what is the Order? What is the Black Label Order? I go, it's a religion. It's a very, and I go, yes, we're all confused. Really, nobody knows what's going on. And, you know, I go, but everyone seems to be happy. But the whole thing is, no, because I'm Catholic. So the whole thing is the running joke would always be, you know, any of our buddies that are Jewish and stuff like that, I go, you know, like Adam, who engineers the records, he's, you know, our favorite rabbi, Irish Catholic rabbi engineer. So, you know, it's just like, and once again, nobody knows what's going on, but we all seem to be happy. But I mean, but the whole thing is, yeah, it's just because I'm Catholic, and that's just a run of joke. So it's just Father this, Father that.
Right.
So, and then, you know, our love for all our guitar players that we love and musicians. So obviously anyone who's passed away has obviously gone into sainthood. So you have St. Rhodes, you know, St. Hendricks and stuff like that. So then you have, you know, and obviously Jimmy Page has even passed. He's not even a guitarist anymore. He's his own religion anyways. But, I mean, it's just like he's the pontiff. You know, you have Pope Page. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Which is a step above saint. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just the running joke we got going.
You mentioned Saint Dime a few times. Obviously we all miss him every day, but I mean, just such a great guy, Dimebag Darrell, man. You guys, I always love that cover of Guitar World with you and Dime with the camouflage on. I think it was out at Dime's house. I mean, it must have been, you must have had some good times with Dime.
No, I mean, put it this way, like everyone always asks, like, what was Dime like? And I mean, like, just as a human being, like one of the most beautiful cats you'd ever want to meet, just because he always loved people being happy, like, mm-hmm. around him. Like, he's just always a giving person. So, I mean, like, he'd rather give than take.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the whole thing is, like, he loved buying everybody guitars, hooking people up with gear, this and that, and then just, like, and just seeing the reactions on their faces when they'd open up a case and stuff like that, and they'd just be blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know what to tell you, man. Yeah, so, he loved that, and he loved living, man. And I mean, that's the whole thing with him. He just, like, when he walked into a room, the life force that was with him, it was just like a ray of sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like no matter if you had a crappy day or whatever, like he was like, you know, Blutarsky in Animal House. Just like, now, but the Germans, you know, when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, did we dip up? It was just like, let him keep going, man. You know, it's just like, no, because he goes, look at all you saps. He goes, everybody's all depressed. He goes, what is everyone bummed out for? You know, so he'd want to cheer you up. I mean, the best thing would be when he'd be partying with people, we would be at a bar and it'd be like, you know, Joe hasn't had a drink in 8 years. He's an 8 guy. Time would have this guy pounding black tubes and drinking just because he's so charismatic and so enthusiastic for the task at hand of everyone having a good time. You know, it's just like, it's like, dude, no drinking for. You know he's an AA guy.
Yeah. Well, it's all right. He can be off today. It's no problem.
Oh, my God, dude. Whenever you were around him, it was always nothing but fun, though.
Great guys. Last question. What's your favorite song to play live nowadays?
Obviously, we're having a blast playing some of the new stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's always that. I think with all bands or any artist, I think if you know, because obviously your staple songs, I mean, that you're playing. I mean, like even with Oz, I mean, when we started playing No More Tears or whatever back when we did that album, it was just like
mm-hmm.
it was fun playing like Mama or you know trying some of the new ones. But then again, whenever I've been playing with the Boss, you know, and we play Mama, I'm Coming Home Again, you know, I still. You love playing them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they're older songs now. But, I mean, I love playing, I mean, all of them are killer. Like, when we play Stillborn in the set, mm-hmm. I still love playing that song. So, I mean, I don't think any of it gets old. You know what I mean? Especially, but not only that, they just feel like an old pair of Levi's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. What's your favorite Randy Rhoads solo?
I remember hearing the first year I'm hearing Over the Mountain.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That was pretty, like, mind-blowing. I was just like, it's like, oh, my God, how could anyone play that fast and this and that? You know, I mean, it was just, I mean, and, like, those records were so monumental to me. I mean, you know, because Oz would always say, man, Zach, the Beatles was such a magical time, Zach. Because when they were around, it was just magical in the air, Zach. And I was like, it's funny because, like, I told Oz, I go, like, Blizzard and Diary, especially Diary, I go, were like, that's what they were to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the Sabbath records. You know what I mean? Like, I'd come home from school, and the first thing I'd do, go in my room, and I'd crank my Sabbath records. And obviously, when Randy, you know, started with Ozzy, and that's when I first started playing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, so those albums were, like, really hugely monumental for me. Like, whenever I hear those records, I feel like I'm 14 years old again. So
yeah, well, absolutely. Absolutely. As big as Sabbath is going, as big as Black Label going, if your schedule's worked out, do you think you'd play with Oz again?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously we did the Ozzy and Friends thing with Slash. Mm-hmm. You know, and Gus is obviously the guitar. And I'm buddies with Gus, and he's a good bud, and aside of being a phenomenal guitar player.
Sure.
But the whole thing is, yeah, I mean, we got together and got up and jammed. I put a bunch of tunes at the Boss. So, it's, like I said, my relationship with him is, hey, Zach, can you do me a favor? Can you go get some milk and eggs when you're on the way over? Just like Oz, whatever you need, man. So... But, yeah, like I said, I mean, Mom, you know, she's been my mother since I've been 19 years old, basically. So, you know, so
right.
As far as my relationship with them. But, if I was wondering, I know we're doing some shows with Sabbath and Alice over in Europe. We're doing a bunch of gigs over there. So, yeah, you never know, man. I mean, if Oz told me, I'm like, Zach, I want you to jam on this with us. It's like, all right, no problem.
Yeah, he's always there. Well, I mean, Catacombs of the Black Vatican, the new Black Label record, debuted at number 5. On the overall 200, but number 1 on the rock album charts. Couldn't happen to a sexier guy, man. I'm glad you're able to come hang out with me today, man. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Father Christopher. Thanks for having me on my show. I'm on your show over there, my brother.
All right, man. We'll see you on the road at some point, and we'll drink some O'Doul's and slap each other's bums.
Yeah, we'll get fake wasted, but, you know, that once the glue kicks in, we'll be right back to where we were before. Our pants will wake up in the morning with our pants around our ankles and not knowing what happened.
And the Viagra just kicking in.
Good time.
Thanks, brother. Love you, man. Be safe.
Right. Love you, Father Chris. I'll talk to you in a bit, my brother.
Sounds good, man.
Bye, buddy.
So, for those of you who've been asking lately, yes, I am doing DDP yoga on the Fozzy tour bus. I just did the stand-up DVD, the stand-up workout the other day in the back lounge. And then I also did the strength builder workout in my dressing room. Don't need a lot of room. It's perfect for when you're on tour. And it looks like I'm not the only one of you into DDP yoga. John Cunningham, a.k.a. at Kraken Dragon on the Twitter, and a fan of Talk Is Jericho, tweeted, Max Pack arrived from DDP Yoga. Listening to Talk Is Jericho gave me the motivation to get healthy. I am in your debt. Hey, I know the feeling. I'm in DDP's debt. Actually going to have a very special Talk Is Jericho with DDP and another special guest coming up very, very soon. But listen,
No debt. I'm just glad you're on board. And so is Paige. So is DDP. I can't say it enough. DDP Yoga is an amazing workout program for all ages and all fitness levels. It changed my life. It made me healthier and in better shape than I've ever been ever at this point in my life right here, right now. It's easy on the joints. It builds strength and flexibility, and it's really good for your heart. Peepow! Your heart will be thanking. It'll be saying, hey, Kraken Dragon, thanks for being there. This ain't your mama's yoga. Remember that. This is not like any other type of yoga that anybody's ever seen. Someone says, do you know how to do the Bartholomew pose? I'm like, nope. All I know how to do is the pose that DDP showed me on DDP Yoga. It's a great cardio workout. It's a great isometric workout. It's a great mental and physical workout. And because you listen to my show, here's the deal. You can get a great special offer on the Max Pack. A great deal on the Max Pack. 15 workouts. You get a nutrition guide. Yeah, you get recipes. Oh, yeah. And a poster to help you remember the 12 core positions of DDP Yoga, which you need. You got to learn the 12 core positions first and foremost. You can even download the MP3s so you can work out whenever and wherever you want. DDP is making it as easy as possible for all of you to get in shape and stay in shape, more importantly. Go to DDPYoga.com/Jericho to take advantage of a special offer only available to you guys, my amazing Talk is Jericho listeners. That's DDPYoga.com/Jericho. But this offer is not going to last forever. I'm warning you. Warning. Go to DDPYoga.com/Jericho to take advantage of it now. That's DDPYoga.com/Jericho. Feel the bang.
This is Talk is Jericho.
Thanks to Zach Wild for doing the show. What a great interview. Such a cool guy. Go check out Catacombs of the Black Vatican. If you want to buy it, make sure you use my Amazon link. You can use it not only when you buy CDs or MP3s, but every time you do your online shopping as well. It's really easy to find. Go to podcast1.com. Do it. Click on Keep Our Podcast Free. Do it. It's at the top of the page of the banner. Then click on Talk is Jericho, and you'll see all three of my Amazon links in the UK, in the US, and in Canada. Every time you do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show so we can keep doing this for you for free twice a week. No extra fees, no extra hidden charges. You're just getting your shopping done, and you're helping me out in the process. As a matter of fact, go to the podcast1.com website, click on Keep Our Podcast Free, hit Amazon, and go check out the new Fozzy song, Lights Go Out. It's hitting the charts with a vengeance. Definitely our biggest song we've ever had in our career. Thank you for listening to it. Thank you for buying it on iTunes. Thank you for buying it on Amazon as an MP3. If you haven't heard it yet, here's your chance. Coming up right here, right now, this is Fozzy with Lights Go Out. Crank it up!
Down.
What do you think? You like it? Hit me up at Talk Is Jericho on the Twitter. Let me know what you think about Lights Go Out, what you think about Talk Is Jericho, what you think about the Michael Jackson hologram controversy, and what you think about me, your intrepid host. Got a lot more great shows coming up, including this Friday, Rob Zombie. How huge is that? Rob has a new book, a new DVD. He's touring the nation. Plus, he's got a new movie coming out. It's going to be all music, metal, horror movies, 70s sitcoms, wrestling. Zombie's a big wrestling fan. We got all that stuff and whole much more on Friday. You don't want to miss out. Come check us out. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you on Friday. Stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. See you Friday, and a fine year, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk Is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.